afternoon, boys and girls. My name's Rebecca.
And I'm Daniel.
And we want to welcome you back behind the wall. It's always good to spend time with our friends, and you're our friends. So we thank God that you're here again today. Now, last week, our story was on the young David, whenever he came up against Goliath, and how he trusted in God, and God helped him overcome that battle. Today, we are going to be revisiting a story that we've talked about before, but focusing in on Isaac and how he responded to his father in the midst of a very difficult circumstance.
That's right.
Before we get started, I think it's time that we stand up and sing our very best together as we sing a chorus to worship God.
Amen.
Our Bible story today, boys and girls, is found in Genesis chapter 22. Now, while you're looking that up, you might realize, didn't we do this story before? And you would be right, partially right. A few months ago, when we were talking about obedience, we looked at the story of Abraham and how he obeyed God in the midst of a very difficult test. But today, we want to revisit that story and focus on Isaac, Abraham's son, and how he responded to his father in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. So our story picks up in chapter 22. To give you a little bit of background, Abraham and his wife Sarah had been promised by God that he would grant them a son, even though they were quite old. God promised that Sarah would have a baby boy. And it took many years before God fulfilled this promise, but he did fulfill it because our God always keeps his promises. And Sarah brought forth this son, Isaac. Now, you can imagine that Abraham and Sarah loved Isaac. They had waited for this child for years. And so when he was finally born, it was wonderful, and I'm sure that they loved him very, very much. But in this story, we see that God is testing Abraham. He's testing him to see if he will truly obey, even to the point where he's willing to obey God if it means giving up his son that he loves. So our story picks up in chapter 22, and we read that God says to Abraham in verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Boys and girls, God was asking Abraham to sacrifice, to kill his son Isaac. And how does Abraham respond? Well, the next morning, he gets up early, he takes his son Isaac, and a few servants, and a few donkeys, and some materials, and off they go to Moriah in obedience to God's command. Now, Isaac, I'm sure, had accompanied his father on these trips before. I'm sure he had helped his father with the sacrifices before. So after their 3-day journey, they arrive near where they have to do this sacrifice, Abraham and Isaac leave the servants, leave the donkeys behind. They gather up the materials that they need, and off they go up the mountain. Now, boys and girls, Isaac, he's looking, and he sees, well, we've got wood, and we've got what we need to make fire, but where's the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Verse 7, Isaac asks his father. He spake unto Abraham and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And Isaac says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And his father replies, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Isaac doesn't ask his father any more questions. He doesn't say, but I don't see it. What do you mean he's going to provide? When is he going to provide? How is he going to provide? Isaac trusts his father, and they continue on. Well, as they continue and up the mountain, they find the place where they need to do the sacrifice. They build the altar together, and it becomes very clear to Isaac that he is the lamb, that he is the sacrifice. Now, I don't know how you would feel if you were in that position, but it must have been very difficult for Isaac to realize, wait a second, I have to go onto that altar? He allowed his father to bind him, to tie him up, and put him onto the altar. Now, we don't know exactly how old Isaac was at this point. Some people think he was a younger boy, some people think he was a bit older, but regardless, he could have fought back. He could have resisted and said, no, Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get onto that altar. I don't want to die. He knew what happened to the animals who went on that altar before, and he didn't want to do that, I'm sure. But yet, boys and girls, we read nothing of Isaac protesting. We read nothing about him pushing back and saying no. But what we see is that he submits to his father. And obviously, there's a trust in God that God knows what he's doing if his father was told to do this. And so Isaac obeys. And Isaac gets onto the altar. Abraham binds him. And just when Abraham lifts up the knife to kill his son that he absolutely loves, God stops him. And he calls out to Abraham and tells him not to kill his son. He tells him that instead, there's a ram in the thicket. Use that for the sacrifice, because Abraham had passed the test. God saw that Abraham was willing to obey, even though he didn't understand why. And boys and girls, we can also learn that Isaac obeyed, even though he didn't understand why. It didn't make sense that God would tell his father to kill him, to put him on the altar. But boys and girls, God sometimes allows things that we don't understand. And instead of questioning him, we need to be like Isaac and trust him. Now, there are more lessons that we can learn from this story. So I'm going to pass it over to Daniel, and we're going to find out what those lessons are.
All right, guys, so there's a couple key lessons we can pick up from the way that Isaac behaved in the circumstance. So just to recap very quickly, Isaac's on a trip with his dad, and they're about to go up a mountain and make a sacrifice. And Isaac, in this process, is seeing all the signs. So let's have a look here. The first thing we notice with Isaac is in verse 7 that he was respectful to his father in the way he spoke. In chapter 22 and verse 7 of Genesis, we see Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, Dad, can we go? No. He said, my father, and addressed him with those terms. So we know in the Bible, one of the commandments, one of those five of the Ten Commandments, which number is it again? Which number commandment is it where you're supposed to honor your mother and father? It's number 5. In the fifth commandment, we know we should honor our father and mother. And that applies not only in the way we talk, move, and act, but also in the way that we speak. And so when Isaac addresses his dad, he doesn't say, Dad, seriously? He doesn't say, Dad, what's going on with this sacrifice business? I'm getting bored. I want to go watch TikTok. No, he says, my father. And that's what he addresses his dad. And his father answers then and says, "Here am I, my son." And you can see with that respectful approach to his father, there was a respectful answer back. "Here am I, my son." And even then, when Isaac asks the question of his dad about the sacrifice, he says here in verse 8, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And asks it to his dad with no presumptions, no assumptions, and no frustration. If it was any of us, let's be honest, we may have said something along the lines of, "Dad, I get it, there's some wood, there's some fire, but come on, I want to see a lamb, I want to get some lamb here, let's go, come on." Or some sort of frustrated or annoyed answer. But that's not the way that Isaac addresses his dad. He addresses him with respect, asks an honest question, and does so in a way where he's asking his dad for an honest answer. His dad responds and says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering." So they went both of them together. When his father told him, "God is going to do this in our lives," that was enough for Isaac, and he went with his dad. Isaac had stopped his dad to ask a question. And when his father responded with the word of God, did Isaac say, "I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't"? No, he went with his dad because he trusted that his father was giving him the word of God. They had a strong relationship of respect and love. And that's how you should treat your parents if they're Christians today. And even if they're not, with that same honor and respect, and whenever the word of God is spoken to you, you should obey, submit, and go in the direction your parents are leading you. Because the word of God is our authority. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's what helps us to decide where we're going next. So when your mom and dad tell you, "The word of God says this, therefore behave or do this or do that," you should listen to every word they say, the way that Isaac did in this circumstance. Even more than this, they went together and they got up and went towards the mountain, despite the fact that Isaac still didn't know where the sacrifice was and probably figured it might even be himself. He went by faith. He trusted the word of God that said that indeed the Lord will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And so they came to the mountain, and eventually it says here in verse 9, he goes, "Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." There's no mention in the scripture that Isaac moved, Isaac complained, or Isaac spoke. He laid there with his dad with a knife over his head about to kill him. And Isaac lay there and waited. Why? Because he trusted the promise of God that God would provide that sacrifice, just as Abraham did. It tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed God would even save his son and resurrect him from the dead because he was the son of promise. And you don't think that rubbed off on his son as well? That they had that faith as a family? That's something to really encourage you all, is to know that when the word of God is taught in a home and your parents believe it and you believe it and you all walk together in that unity, there is a group effort to worship and glorify God that can't be done when one person's off guard. So I want to encourage you, as much as you can, invest in that time of family prayer. Invest in trusting in the word of God. Be serious when your parents teach you things from the Bible. And one last thing I want to mention about all this is, at the end of the day, we all know what happened, that God did provide that ram in the thickets, and eventually Isaac and his father went home together. But the effects of this weren't over with that one instance. This, the Bible tells us, was an example of the kind of sacrifice that we made on our behalf as Christians in the future. You see, Isaac was lying on that wood, ready to die. But out of nowhere, God provided the sacrifice instead of him. And Isaac was saved from death to life. Just like you and I, as Christians, we live in sin, we do wicked things, and we did this up to what point in time? When God came in and provided the sacrifice for our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message we really have in every Behind the Wall and every time we talk to you. We want to see you saved today and believe that there is a sacrifice for your sins, that Christ bore the weight of every single one of your sins. And if you believe in him, you're forgiven, you're free. You can walk in trust and faith with the Lord, with Isaac walked with his father, with we should walk with our families and our churches in trust and obedience to the word of God, with respect and honor, with a joy in our hearts, knowing that God has provided the sacrifice for all of our sins. And even beyond that, in Isaac's life, we can see, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau by faith. It tells us he prayed to God when his wife was barren and to have a child. Isaac prayed and asked God by faith. Isaac's experience with the Lord providing a sacrifice led to a life of faith, despite many ups and downs. I want to encourage you that your decision today to believe in God, to believe his word, to have faith in Christ as your Savior, would have effects that would last you the rest of your life. So we commit this all into God's hands. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray every child listening today will be changed by this word. We'll believe, Lord God, it's a good thing and a right thing to serve you, Lord, to obey their parents and to trust the word of God when it's preached, to invest in time in the home, to serve you, Lord God, to build a stronger family in Christ, and to live a life, Lord God, that will have a legacy of faith for years and years to come. And for every child who doesn't know you, I pray, Father, you'd forgive them their sins as they come to you by faith. Save souls today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All that being said, let's take a moment and jump into our memory verse. All right, so it's time for our memory verse. And our memory verse is found today in the same text we just read, in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, where Abraham spoke and said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." We're going to actually focus on one part of that verse, which says, "God will provide himself a lamb." Now, the reason we're going to focus on this part is because it's applicable not only to Isaac, but to us today. That because of the fact that human beings are fallen in sin, because of the fact that we're far from God because of that sin, we need a Savior. We can cling to the truth that God himself provided himself as a lamb to bear the weight of our sins, as a sin offering on our behalf. Isaac was supposed to be the offering, but there was a lamb in his place. We were supposed to be condemned to hell forever because of our sins, but Christ came and died in our place. So we can rejoice with full heart, saying that God has indeed provided a lamb for the sacrifice for our sins. So let's memorize that verse together. Again, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8.
And we're just going to do that one phrase in the middle. Okay? That's right. So let's go from the top, boys and girls, including the reference. Here we go. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. All right, let's do it again. All right.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb.
All right, we'll try it two more times with no words underneath, all right? Okay. I think we've heard enough times.
Here right? we go.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb.
One more time?
One more time.
Okay.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen.
Now, boys and girls, before we say goodbye, I do want to mention one thing. We have an email that you can contact us at any time, and we would love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions, any feedback for us, or especially if you have any prayer requests, Daniel and I would love to hear from you so that we can pray with you for whatever it is that's going on in your life. So feel free to send us an email at behindthewall@torontofpc.ca. As always, it's wonderful to have you here, boys and girls, and we hope we see you next time
behind the wall. Whoa!